Hello and welcome to this episode of the Print on Demand Playbook podcast. I'm your host, Carrie Egler, here with my co-host, Adrian Von Arks. And today we're diving into a huge trend right now in print on demand that we think you should definitely check out. I was recently in Norway at the Gelato Accelerator Summit, and I noticed that so many sellers in the room were utilizing this trend. So you got to stay tuned and listen to find out what this trend is. But before we dive into that, I want to ask you to subscribe to the podcast. If you're enjoying this content, if you're getting value each week, make sure you hit that subscribe button. It helps you never miss an episode, and it helps us reach new listeners. It's like one of the only ways we can reach new listeners is if you subscribe. So thank you again so much for listening today. Let's dive into the content. What's up, everybody? We're back. Adrian, we're back, man. What's going on?
Dude, I am really happy to be back. We've been going back and forth with some solo episodes while you were away in Norway and some joint episodes. Actually got a private message from someone who was asking what was going on with us because he noticed that we were doing more solo episodes. But not to worry, guys. The relationship is still strong. It's just that both of us have had a lot of things going on lately. Carrie's been traveling. I've been traveling. And so that's why our goal, our commitment to our listeners is dropping a new episode every single Friday. And so if we can't get together to record an episode, we record solo episodes so that we can stick to that commitment. And I'm happy to say that we've actually never missed a single week since we launched in January of 2023. It's pretty sweet. We love doing these. So yeah, man, I'm good. I just was hosting a family reunion here in Phoenix. So I had family flying from California and from Canada, and it was so awesome. The last ones just flew out today. So I'm back, ready to knock out this podcast. I am super excited about this topic. I'll let you kind of introduce it, but this is a topic that's been really picking up, especially I would say in the last year.
For sure. Interesting what you said about the message you received. I'd love to hear more about that, because I wonder if our listeners, you know, if there's one that they prefer, they probably prefer us being together, because that's how we did it, to start. But there is something that I enjoy about the solo episodes. I think it's a different take, it's a different perspective. You get to hear from one of us a little bit more than the other, which I think is valuable. But yeah, there's nothing really else to it other than we want to make sure we aren't just doing these like every week on the spot. We want to try to stay prepared and stay, planned out. So it helps us to be able to do that a little bit. So that's nice.
Yeah. Consistency is key. I mean, this is what we teach our students, and this is the same kind of level that we hold ourselves to.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's good. Always good to be with you, Adrian. And side note, I was noticing how pale I am on camera with this winter. Winter's kind of coming to an end. You're looking so tan over there, man. I need some of that Arizona sun to tan my skin up.
It's been
80 plus here in Oklahoma, but the last
it's because
days.
Of the family reunion. It's like we were outdoors a lot. Like I took them on hikes. I took them. We just did a lot of outdoor stuff because people were coming from some really cool places like Vancouver. So I just needed to give them a lot of Arizona sun. And as a result, I got a lot of Arizona sun too, but yeah, man, you should come on over to Phoenix. We've got awesome weather here. You get a tan in like a day. It's great. Yes,
that'd be awesome. I tan like fairly easily. As I get older, it gets tan a little bit less easy, but anyways, let's get into it. Excited about the topic today. We put in the title, it's a huge trend. Lots of people are making a lot of money with it. And to tie that in, why we kind of worded it that way. So I'm not going to talk too much about this because if you go back to last week's episode, it was actually a solo episode with me where I shared the presentation that I gave to a room full of multi-million-dollar print-on-demand sellers in Norway at the Gelato Accelerator Summit. And at the beginning of that episode, the first really half of that episode, I shared some of my takeaways. I shared, that I really encourage people, if you can get in the room at a conference, at a mastermind, those kind of things, man, there's so much value in getting in the room, getting around people that are having success, people that can help you connect with you in your business and on your journey. And one of my big takeaways from that summit and being in the room with so many successful sellers was there was definitely a trend that I was seeing from these huge, some of them, $5, $10 million sellers. I was seeing a huge trend there. And it's something that I don't want to just continue to do podcast episodes and not talk about. So we're going to really dive a little bit deeper into it today. And that trend is personalization. It's personalized print on demand products. Mm-hmm. And I would say, Adrian, in that room of, I don't know, 20 to 30 print on demand, high level, successful print on demand sellers, somewhere at least in the range of maybe 60 to 70% of that room, they owned print on demand businesses that were offering personalized products. So we definitely can't just skim over it as something that's not, you know, relevant. Like, it's actually humongous, and it's a humongous opportunity for people in our space that want to do print on demand. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about in this episode. To give you a little bit of the breakdown of what we're going to go through, first of all, we're going to talk about this trend, why you should do it. You know, what are the benefits? What are the drawbacks? Those kind of things. Second, I'm going to give you some examples of, you know, multi-million dollar ideas that are, you know, confirmed ideas that are having success right now that you can kind of, you know, so you can get an idea of what you could even do with personalization. And then the last part of the episode, we're going to talk about three levels of personalization. So one of the biggest things about personalization, and before we get into that, because I don't want to get into that yet, but we're going to talk about three different ways you could do it from a technical perspective, from ease of use to being a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit more complex. Mm-hmm. But before we get into why, like the first kind of segment here, why should you do personalization? Adrian, what are your thoughts on personalization? What do you think about this?
Yeah, I definitely think this is a trend that is trending in the right direction. Sure. It's huge on Etsy. It's huge with a lot of Shopify sellers. It's huge with my T-Shirt Legends Academy students. It's huge with our six-figure founder students. I remember we had a conversation not too long ago where a lot of people were talking about it, because it's kind of like this elephant in the room. And I feel like it's like we're kind of in the era of personalization right now.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. I've sold personalized products before, had quite a bit of success with them. Essentially what we did was we just took our winning designs and we would try to change one word and allow it to be personalized. So we were in the dog niche, for one of my businesses. And, what we would do is we would just take out the word dog and then allow people to put in like their dog's name or something like that. And people loved it, man. They eat it up, because it's a totally original product. What I like about it is that because it's original, it's kind of like a differentiated product. A lot of sellers do not offer personalized items. So right there, you're just in like a certain chunk of the population of sellers actually selling these products. And then two, I like that you can ask for a little bit more. Like, you can charge a bit of a higher premium price because it is a customized product. If you go to my favorite design research tool is Everbee. I think everyone knows that by now. If you go on there and you run a search on something like dog shirt, probably 8 out of the first 10 shirts that come up with the highest revenue in the last 30 days will be customized or personalized product of some sort. It's just, we're in the era, man. And I'm glad we're talking about this, lifting the lid on it. And I want to encourage people to take action and to try it out for themselves.
Yeah. One of the things in this episode, we always want to give people actionable steps. And so in this episode, you know, I want to talk through like, how do you actually put this into practice? And hopefully, you know, giving you as the listener some ideas and ways that you can actually do this in your own business. And Adrian just touched on a really great one of just taking some of your best products and figuring out if there's a way you can kind of add personalization to those. So with that being said, Adrian, let's jump into why you should do personalization. You just talked a little bit about it, but let's go into some of the benefits and the downsides. The downside is very small, I think. I think it's a big downside, but there's not many downsides to it. So let's start with the benefits. Number one, you can charge more because it has a higher perceived value. And all these are kind of connected a little bit. So, you know, as I go through these benefits, they're all kind of connected in some way, but you can definitely charge more for personalized products because there's just that higher perceived value, right? I think it is a little bit of that Etsy mindset of like, this is something that's custom, right? So it means more to the customer, and they know that there's probably some custom aspect that has to be done on it. And so it makes it feel like a more quality and premium, higher perceived value product. Number two, that comes with, in a lot of cases, that comes with higher margins. And maybe not in every case, mm-hmm. Depending on the personalization that you're offering, it could come with lower margins because there's things like a team that you have to have to do some of the personalization in some cases, right? And we're going to talk through that in this episode. But in some cases, it can have higher margins. And what I mean by that is that in many cases, you know, like with print on demand, you can offer personalized products and it actually doesn't cost you any more to offer the personalized product, but you can charge more money. So right there, you just get way bigger margins, right? So it's huge, right? It's a huge opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Next benefit, it creates a deeper connection with the customer. I said these are all kind of connected. It's connected to, you can charge more, you get higher margins, all the different things, because personalized products mean something to the customer, right? They mean something deeper than just a regular design. They're connected to something in their life. A lot of the personalized or the businesses that we see, you know, it's related to a place that you were at when something happened. It's related to a child, a family member, a pet, these different events in your life. And so there's this deep connection. And what that does is it causes people to get their credit card out, right? It makes them want to mm-hmm. buy more because they're connected to the product. And lastly, another benefit I have here is it's just easier to upsell and bundle things together because you have that connection, right? I said all these were connected. Because you're creating that deep connection, people are just willing to just dish out the dough, right? Oh, if I got this in a mug, yeah, I want it in a piece of wall art. Yeah, I want it in a t-shirt, right? Because it means so much to them.
Right.
So those are some of the benefits I was able to identify. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I like these benefits. I definitely think we say passion plus products equals profits. This is definitely the case here with personalized items. You know, I was thinking while you were talking, I was thinking about all the different ways that you can personalize things. And I think a lot of people, like the immediate kind of reaction is, oh, if I'm in the dog niche, this will be easy because I can use dogs' names. If I'm in the cat niche, it'll be easy because I can use cat names. But there are actually so many other ways that you can personalize products. And one kind of one that I've seen really blowing up lately, I don't know if you've seen this, Carrie, but personalized sleeve prints where people will have. Let me give you an example. This is like blowing up right now. It'll be like a shirt for a new mom. And it'll say something like mama, you know, that big blocky text that's really trendy right now. It'll say mama. And then underneath it'll say established 2024, let's say. And then on the sleeve, it'll have like the baby's birthday. It'll be like 01-24-24, something like that. Or it'll have the baby's name with a heart around it or something like that. And this is just one example of so many ways that items are being personalized.
That's such a great example.
Yeah, I kind of thought about it more as like, oh, you can do it for like your pet or something like that, right? But here's one of many other examples that you can do it that is not pet related.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's such a great example. So let's talk about the downsides. I wrote down two downsides, potential downsides. The biggest downside to personalization, because I always want to provide, you know, a little bit of both sides, right?
Yep.
I think the biggest downside and the reason people don't necessarily get into personalization right off the bat is because of complex technology. So, you know, trying to make it happen on your Shopify store or Etsy or whatever can just feel like, how do I even do that? It's so complicated. It just feels so complicated. And to be honest with you, I think for, you know, we've been in print on demand 6 or 7 years or longer. I don't know the exact amount of time, but a long time. For the better part of when we've been in print on demand, it has been pretty difficult, right? A lot of times, you know, I think when we started, you really had to have like a custom coded website. It was like something that had to be built from the ground up to be able to allow personalization. And as technology has advanced and, you know, we get further and further here, it's become easier and easier to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it can still feel pretty overwhelming. Even today, it's like, even if you need additional software, you know, is it going to work right? Does it connect with my print on demand? How is it going to look on my Shopify store? It just presents these tech issues that can potentially be really difficult for people. And one of my goals in the rest of this episode is to really show you how easy it's become and give you some ways that you can do it. I also wanted to say just in that realm that we're not nothing in this episode. We're not promoting, we're not promoting any software. We'll I'm going to talk about some different software, but we're not affiliated with it. I don't want to like, we're not promoting that software. So I do want to put that out there. Any thoughts on the technology though, Adrian?
Totally. No, this is important that we talk about this because it's not all sunshines and rainbows with personalization. I think a lot of people are intimidated because it's different, right? It's definitely easier just to throw a design on a shirt and not offer personalization. There is more work required. You need to get familiar with setting up personalized products. And I would actually advise a lot of people when they're first starting out not to do personalization, because what we find at the very beginning is that new sellers, they, if they're stuck on something, they'll get really hung up on it and it will really slow them. It'll really kill the momentum and slow them from moving forward. So generally what I recommend, I think Carrie, you might recommend the same, is like get, you know, get non-personalized designs up, get familiar and comfortable with that process, and then consider doing this once you've kind of just got familiar with everything else. In my experience, when we were using personalization, they were definitely a little bit, it was definitely a little bit glitchy. We got some more support issues about it. We had some more questions about it. It wasn't always perfect. It's definitely come a long way. I sold that business back in 2019. So it's come a long way since we were doing it in 2019. But I agree. I think it's, you know, like it can be overwhelming for people, especially if you're brand new and you're new to Shopify and you're new to design research and you're new to marketing and you got all these different, you know, where you're wearing all these hats. They say that complexity is the enemy of execution. And I truly believe that, which is why generally we recommend people keep everything simple and just get comfortable with the foundational elements of running a business. And then my recommendation would be to do this once you're at that point. But just to avoid getting stuck with any of the, you know, the complex tech, because yes, it can be problematic at times.
I definitely agree with that point of view to an extent, for sure. Because I think that for a lot of people, it might just be too difficult in some ways for them to really grasp it right off the bat. If you're new to every, like this whole game, you're totally new to e-commerce, you're totally new to Shopify and technology and all, like you said, this is like, let's add another layer of another level of complexity that could, you know, hurt you. On the other hand, I think that in a lot of the examples and a lot of the people I met at the Accelerator Summit that were doing this, personalization is the whole idea, right? Like there's no, there's nothing outside of personalization. It's everything's personalized. So there are definitely cases where you have an idea for something that you know, you think you might be able to have success with, and it may be worth pursuing the personalized side and really creating a system for it. And I wanted to bring that up because I think that's the most important thing. The thing that prevents me in my businesses from doing so many things that I want to do, but I feel are too complex, is just not having a system for it. Not having.
Yeah.
And what's funny is it's for me, it's not generally that I don't know what to do. It's generally that I will not sit down and invest the time to figure out how to do it step by step and having a standard operating procedure and having a system for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And once I do that, it's like, oh, usually I go, wow, that wasn't as hard as I thought. Like here, I have a system for it. You know what I mean? So I think if you're going to do something like this and there is some complex tech and you're trying to figure out how is this even going to work, I think it's important to sit down, maybe talk to somebody that's already done it. If you have that ability, ask people like us if we can help, you know, from our point of view, but come up with, okay, step one, the customer's going to submit an order. You know, the design's going to go here. We're going to do this. We're going to submit it here. And like, and then testing that process. So that would be my biggest advice on that. The second,
I agree with you. Sorry, I was just going to say, if someone's going to make their entire business around personalization, yeah, then definitely they should learn, they should become an expert in personalization. And if that's their goal, then yeah, like go all in. But yeah.
For sure. But I think for a lot of people, and especially a lot of listeners to this podcast, you already have your business started, like you're kind of up and running. If once you have some success, you have some sales, then it might be a good time to add personalization, like you said.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
A case for a lot of people. The second downside, and this again, we're gonna in the third or the last part of this podcast, I'm gonna get into the three levels of personalization that print on demand personalization that you could potentially pursue. In one of these levels, you know, you may need like a team of people. Generally, it's going to be a team of designers. And that's the second downside I wanted to bring up, was just the potential for needing a actual staff or a team. The only reason I put this in as a downside is because, number one, I did meet some people that had teams of VAs and designers across the world that they had a system for, you know, to actually make this stuff work. And then I talked about this a little bit with my shirt school students earlier this week on a Q&A call. And one of the questions that came up was like, how scalable is this? You know, like, is it even scalable if you need people and all this stuff? And one of the biggest things I wanted to tell them was, it really depends on the complexity of your specific personalized product idea. There are levels to this, right? And so, yes, if you're going all in on a 100% personalized product business and you have the most complex idea that is going to need like custom graphic design work, yes, it's going to be difficult to make that system work and then scale it, you know, unless you have a really rock solid tech stack and system and process for doing it. So yeah, that could be a downside depending on what your specific idea is.
I have a quick side question for you.
Yeah.
Just because it's cool. You spoke at the Accelerator Summit this year and I spoke at it last year. Okay. And I noticed some trends as well. And one really big trend I noticed last year was that it was a mix of apparel, mm-hmm, like these big hitters, these 6-7, maybe bigger, 7-figure and maybe even bigger businesses. A lot of them were in wool art. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, this year, you presented, you got to meet a lot of the attendees, and it sounds like personalization was the big theme, which is awesome. But I'm curious what product types they were personalizing on. Like, were these apparel brands? Was it customized wall art? Was it kind of everyone was doing a mix of the two?
Yeah, what's interesting about that, that's a good question. What's interesting about that is that I heard from Gelato staff people that I talked to, that number one, nobody in the room in this one, which yours was in June, mine was in February.
Yeah.
I think they're doing another one this year. Could be wrong, but I think they want to do another one this year. Nobody in the room this time was in the room last time. So it was a completely different set. My camera's kind of freaking out on me. I don't know why, but it was a completely different set of business owners, which I thought was interesting that there was nobody there that was there for you as well. But I would say it was a mix from what I remember. And I wrote down a lot of their businesses, so I've looked at a lot of their websites and everything. It was a mix. There is, again, without saying the name and giving that away, there is a business owner that, was there that does a very, very personalized apparel product. Mainly, I think a lot of hoodies and different things, and it's embroidered. The design is embroidered. There was definitely a mix of wall art. There was one person there that really crushes it with mugs. And then there was some, you know, some non-personalized businesses there, of course, which I think many of those were in the apparel category. So it was just a really a mix. I would say if I had to pick one that was more heavy than others, it was probably wall art. That was probably it. And let me be specific. It was a lot of different types of wall art. So it wasn't just one. Like, there was multiple poster brands that they focus on posters.
Mm.
And so I do think, though, also that because Gelato has just rolled out their personalization, they've had personalization for a while, but they just rolled out a lot of new features with personalization. They were a little more intentional to get to bring clients in that were interested in that segment. So I think it was definitely a focus on personalization, because that's a new feature to Gelato.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And why do you think that was a new feature to Gelato? Because they're probably getting it asked by everyone using. Yes, well, exactly. A lot of sellers using Gelato are probably asking for it, and that's probably why they released it. And they went so big into it. Like, exactly. They've gone really heavily into personalization, which is awesome, because there was a lot to be desired in personalization from a lot of print-on-demand companies in the past. So it's nice to see them taking this seriously.
Yeah. It's Gelato is very, you know, they definitely listen to their clients and they like to add the features that will benefit them the most. And
yeah,
that was definitely something I saw when I was there. Okay. So let's get into this. Let's talk about it a little bit. So we talked about the number one thing we talked about was the benefits, downsides. Let's get into number two. And I want to give you just a couple examples of multi-million dollar print-on-demand personalization ideas. Okay. Without really giving away like the URL or the, you know, all that kind of stuff, just kind of talk about some of these that are really, really taking off. So I would say potentially one of the most trendy ideas right now, one of them, you see this everywhere, is personalized maps of different locations. So there was, there's one that, really, really cool. It is it's just a certain style of map that the customer can personalize with whatever elements that the business owner sets up. So it could say, you know, where you had your first date, and it could be a map of that location. And this one specifically that I'm looking at right now has different shapes of maps. So they have like a heart, right? And that heart, inside that heart is the map location. And it says, you know, our first date, has the name on it. It's a really, you know, cool design. You can do where you bought your first house, right? And it's a shape of a house with a map where your first house was.
This is so cool.
Yeah, so cool. And so this is a map. Another one that I think most people have seen are the star maps, right? Mm-hmm. Star maps are basically what the sky looked like on the night of X, the night you got engaged, the night you got married. What did the stars look like? What was the map of the stars? And that's another really, really, really cool idea. Any thoughts on those, Adrian? Before I got one more here that's a little bit different and a little bit more, a little bit higher level as far as complexity. Any thoughts on those?
I'm just looking at the website and I'm seeing some of these and they are just so cool. Like, I can definitely see why these are crushing it. And it's so unique. Like, I think, you know, We kind of think what we see the most is kind of all there is for personalization, but man, you can get so creative with this stuff. So creative. Like, this is a perfect example of a brand that's doing something really unique that a lot of people have probably never even heard of. But immediately when I started looking at this, I'm like, oh yeah, I could definitely see why people would buy these. There's so much emotion. Like, we talk about creating designs that evoke emotion and relatability. Like, dude, this is it. This is it in a nutshell. It's just really cool to see.
Yeah, and I think one of the big tips that I would give our listeners out there is that what I saw from these stores, and Adrian's looking at a specific store that I linked in our notes, which I can't share publicly here. I just don't have permission to share publicly here on the podcast from one of those sellers that was there. But one of the big things that I think is a trend across some of these personalized brands is that what people are buying the connection that they have to that specific thing. You know, in this case, it's a map of where something was or whatever, where they first house, whatever, where they had their first baby. I mean, whatever. But it's also a specific style of design, right?
Right.
This brand that you're looking at is a specific style of map. It looks a certain way, and the little pinpoint on the map is always a heart. Right.
Yeah.
And then it's got they have one font. It's a cursive font, you know, with a kind of a specific design, and it's like a certain layout. It's laid out in a certain way. Right. So they're buying the style.
Right.
And that's kind of what you see with the star maps as well. When you do the star maps, it's always a really dark, you know, wall art because it's at night and it has a certain style design, certain style of font. And so they're buying that style because they're going to hang it up in a room. continuing with that trend, the other one that the other idea here that's, you know, multi-million dollar idea that is just crushing it and is really cool, another level of complexity. So keep that in mind. This website allows their customers to submit a picture. In most cases, it's of their pet. They submit a picture of their pet, and this brand will actually turn your pet, the picture of your pet, into a line art design, and they will embroider that on apparel, and they have some other products as well. But I know specifically from talking to this business owner that the product that they do the best with is hoodies, mm-hmm. and the design that they do the best with is pets. So they really have a focus on pets and embroidered pets on hoodies.
Yeah.
And they have a specific style of art. In this case, it's line art. They do this really cool line art. And so, I mean, it's literally like the customer submits a photo of their pet, and the complexity, they have a team, they send it out to a designer. That designer turns the photo into a piece of line art. Then they submit it to the print on demand to be embroidered, and it's shipped, you know, automatically shipped to the customer. But again, what we were saying earlier, one of the big takeaways here, it's a specific style of art. In this case, it's line art. They're doing mm-hmm. like something that is their specific style of art too. So there's a little bit of that there as well. Really, really cool. Thoughts on this?
Yeah. I mean, line art just makes a lot of sense for embroidery. Not only is line art trendy, but like it actually makes so much sense for embroidery. These look super cool. I just wanted to go back to the other website for a sec about the maps, without giving it away. I just want to point out one thing that I think they did that was really, really clever. So on their website, on the homepage, they have a dropdown in their navigation menu that says gift occasions, and you can actually go down and it gives you all these different ideas for gifts. So they have anniversary gifts, wedding gifts, Mother's Day gifts, and then you click on one and you see everything for that special occasion. I just really like, one, how they organize that. They've got a couple other gift like drop down menu items as well. But one, I like how they organize that. And two, it just plants a seed, right? Like you might go on there looking for an anniversary gift, and then you see that there's a Mother's Day gift, and you might end up getting a Mother's Day gift at the same time because you didn't know that they even offered that. And if Mother's Day was coming up, like it is right now in a couple months, then that might kind of put that seed in your head. So that could bring you back for that, right? But going back to the newer website that we're looking at right now that puts the pet or a photo, it can turn a photo into line art embroidery, like a special photo that you have on your wedding day or something like that. That's so cool. These are just such unique out of the box ideas. And what I wanted to point out is these aren't cheap. Like I'm looking at a hoodie right now. It's $79.99. It's on sale for $69.99 for a Mother's Day sale. $69.99 for a hoodie, like, and they're killing it. So
crushing it, multi.
They're absolutely crushing it. So I like people to see examples of brands with premium pricing to know that they are out there. They have the premium pricing and they are making a ton of sales and usually a lot more margin, a lot more profit margin than a lot of other people who are very, very concerned about price. Yeah. Now, what I will say is that this is a very well-optimized website. It looks very professional and trustworthy. They've got a ton of social proof. They're doing a lot of things right here. And then to add another layer on top of that, they've got this super unique original product. But I wanted to point that out because so often we got questions about, people just don't believe that there's brands out there that are making a lot of sales with premium prices. And there absolutely are. There are a lot of them. They focused on increasing the perceived value, and that'll get people like this website's customers to pay these prices, $70 or $80 for a customized embroidered hoodie.
Yeah. And I mean, even on the maps, like I would say, in my opinion, it's premium pricing as well, because they are, $74.99 on sale for $59.99 right now. Mm-hmm. And they're only 12 by 16. Like, mm-hmm. this isn't like a massive piece of art you're putting on your wall. I mean, you're talking about like, this is a little guy,
Right.
So, So for sure. And that's, you know, you're talking about $59.99 is like just the print. If you add like a frame and stuff, then that goes up to over $100. For these. So
they've got upsells as well, which is kind of cool, like this personalized gift note, which is really cool. And then I think they've got some other upsells as well. I think you mentioned frames.
Yeah. And I'm going to throw a teaser out there. I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to throw a teaser out there. There is a good chance that we can get the owner of this brand on our podcast. Actually, ask her if she'd be willing to come on the podcast. I know I can't reveal the brand yet because I don't have permission from her, but I did ask her to come on the podcast because she has an incredible story of how she started this business. She's really successful. She's based in LA, and her and her husband started it in their house, just literally like creating these pieces of art on their own. And she was like, I'd love to come on the podcast. So
yes, let's go.
We're not saying for sure. Okay. We don't have
Right. Let's try to make it happen though. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. If she comes on though, I mean, we'll obviously reveal the website and everything. We can talk about it a little bit more, but she has a really incredible story. So, little teaser out there. Okay, let's keep going here. So those are a couple cool, really cool examples of personalization. These are just a few, you know, examples. Let's get into number three. This is kind of the last part of this, you know, content, and it's really how to implement it. And I've broken this down into three levels of personalization. So if you are listening to this podcast right now and you hear the sound of my voice and you're like, I want to do this. How do I even start? Let's actually talk about how to do that, how to put this into action. And I'm going to give you three levels of that. Okay. So let's start by talking about level one. This is the most basic. You make a design that people can add their own personalization to. Okay. And the example here, I'm just going to give you a quick example. Say you're selling mugs and you allow customers to choose a picture, you know, a piece of art of the breed of dog that they own from a selection of little dogs, little doggy designs, and they can actually customize the name on the mug to be their pet. Right. So you've probably seen these, Adrian, like they do these for all different things. Mm-hmm. I saw one that was really, really popular. That was it was like three girls. It was like three girls and they were best friends. Right. And you could actually go and select the little, you could change out what the girls look like. So one could have blonde hair, one could have, you know, brown hair. And it was like supposed to be your pack of friends or maybe your sisters. Right. It was like two or three sisters. And you could actually go in and choose like what you most look like and what your sister most looks like. And it was just choosing from 5 to 10 little different styles of little girl design, you know, and you just pick the one that looks like you and looks like your sisters. And you can do this with dogs. You can do this with your cat, right? You've got a black cat, you've got a gray cat. You upload those little designs and allow the customer to choose from those designs. There's a lot more you could do with a lot of different examples, but this is one example of a very basic form of personalization that could absolutely crush it, right?
Yeah,
and totally. As far as the tech to do this, it's really, really simple. And I want to talk about Gelato for a second. Again, this is not at all to promote Gelato. I know there are other print-on-demands that probably offer something similar like this, but Gelato has really taken the personalization to another level inside their software. And at their core, they are a software company. And so I want to talk about how easy this is in Gelato just to give our listeners an idea. They've just upgraded their personalization features. They've rolled out this whole personalization studio inside the Gelato app. And you can actually do some really complex personalization in there where it's 100% automated. And you can, with the new Gelato features, you can allow customers to see the preview on your Shopify product page with no coding, like no additional coding. So they can text and it will update right in real time as they're doing it. And there's like, I'm just telling you guys, there's no code that you have to do. There's like nothing you have to do. So inside Gelato, you literally just pick what font, you know, you place it on your design on whatever product you want to sell it on. It's available on all Gelato products. And then you can upload your specific artwork, and you can even allow your customers to choose from a variety of artwork. So as we said, you could upload 10 breeds of dogs, little clip arts, you know, little AI images or designs that you've done or you've had a graphic designer do, you can upload those and literally just let the customer choose from what dog they want to pick that looks like mostly like their dog. And then they can type in their dog's name or whatever. Right. So this is kind of like level one. You just basic personalization.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that before we move to level two?
No, I love that. That's kind of what we did. So when I had my shop in the dog niche, what we would do is we would offer personalization by breed and by dog name. And what we would do is we'd just take our best-selling designs and then we'd change out the word dog in a lot of cases to the dog's name, or it would be like the breed. They could personalize the breed. So let's say, for example, I use the example a lot, dogs make me happy, you not so much. They could personalize it to schnauzers make me happy, you not so much, or pit bulls make me happy, you not so much. And some have really unique breeds, right? There are some very rare breeds out there. So allow them to create a product that specifically called out their dog's breed, which is pretty cool because there are some less common breeds out there that people are still really passionate about.
Yeah. So like in that same vein, you know, another one that's just coming to mind would be like, you know, if you had one that said proud sports grandma and it had, and you could change out the type of sport that was on there. So it was like a basketball, but you could change it to a football, you could change it to whatever. And then underneath that, it was like, you know, it had the grandson's name or the granddaughter's name underneath it. Right. And you could customize that, like, you know, just like simple stuff like that. So it doesn't have to be complex, like some of the stores that we've talked about.
Right.
Okay. Let's move to level two. Level two is using additional software in addition to your print on demand to do a little bit more complex personalization. The example I'm going to use here is an app called Customily, Customily. Okay, not promoting them, not an affiliate of them. Customily. This is a flipping awesome app, and I'm sure there's more like it out there. But what Customily allows you to do is it allows you to do more complex personalization stuff and still have it automated with print on demand. So currently this app integrates with Printful, Shine On, Printify, Gearment, Gelato, Custom Cat, T-Launch, Merch One. Those are like some of the print on demands that it actually integrates with. So that means it can be completely automated if you're using one of those print on demands. Now, what do I mean by like more complex personalization? Let me give you a few of the examples of, you know, what Customily can do. Now, this is a Shopify app, so it's not like you don't need it like separate from Shopify. You can literally like install it into your Shopify store, just like you would any other app. But some of the stuff that they talk about on their website. So let's say that you had a personalized design and you wanted to add you wanted the customer to be able to stylize it and add a filter on top of it, you know, and make it look a little bit different. That's something you could do with Customily. Add a texture onto it. Maybe you have different textures that you want to add onto it. Let's say you wanted to do like a curve text design, right? Like, you know, maybe Gelato didn't offer that some of that more complex design aspects and you wanted to have curved text that was customizable. Customily can do that. They have an option in there where you can have the customer upload a picture and it will automatically cartoonize it. So it will turn it into a cartoon, right? Some examples in there where, you know, they have text that's a little bit more 3D that you can allow the customer to customize. Like the example they have on their website, they have like a street sign where the sign is like, you know, diagonal. I have to explain this on audio, but you know, a street sign, it's like kind of in 3D and, you know, whatever, but you could customize the text on the street sign. So it wasn't just like flat text, but it was a little bit more three-dimensional. So those are like some of the examples with Customily. Now, couple of things I wanted to mention about that is like Customily has the ability built in to allow you to do those maps inside Customily. So, you know, you can have the customer put in a address and it will create the map for that address. And it can automate that to your print on demand. I think that's pretty much, you know, pretty much what I wanted to say about that. They do. Oh, one other thing I just wanted to mention is they actually have a lot of built-in clip art that you can use in your design. So for things like dogs, for things like the sister idea, they have like, you know, specific designs built in that you can put into your designs. And again, this is completely automated, but it does, I call it level two because it does introduce another technical level that you have to think about, where it's not just Shopify and your print on demand. Now you're going from Shopify store to this app, to your print on demand. And there's another step, and it's a more things you have to set up and customize, right? So it becomes a little bit more complex, but still there's no manual work with it. Like, you set it up and it's ready to roll. So it's still completely automated. Thoughts on this?
Man, automation is like my love language. It's music to my ears, man. I'm all about like three things: delegation, automation, or elimination, to keep things really, really simple with the business. So I love using third-party apps if it's going to save me from having to outsource to a team or spend a whole bunch of time doing the work myself. So this sounds like an Unreal app. And just what it can do is so cool. Again, creating so many unique, original products, which in a lot of cases, you can get a higher price for.
Yeah, and again, we're not affiliated with Customly. I actually haven't used specifically this app. This is just an example of an app. And there may be other ones out there. This is an example of an app that you can use. It looks like they do integrate with Shopify and Etsy. So that's something to note, is that you can do some more complex personalization stuff on Etsy.
It's got 165 reviews in the Shopify App Store with a 4.9 star rating out of 5.
That's awesome.
Not bad.
Cool.
Yeah.
And lastly, I want to talk about level 3. So level 3 is the most complex, tech-heavy, you know, example here. And it's kind of, you know, some of the examples we've given in this episode are using this. But level 3 is you actually have a team that personally creates the artwork after it's submitted from your customer. So the example is, you know, I have a couple examples here. So, you know, there's a brand that we've talked about here. I think it's, they've actually publicly shown this. I think I can talk about this. I don't know the owners or anything, but I think it's called Your Movie Poster or something along those lines. I looked it up earlier. Your Movie Poster. Let's see. I forget exactly what the URL was. It might have been something else, but
yourfilmposter.com.
Yeah, Your Film Poster.
Yeah.
So they actually, what they do is your customer submits a photo. So it could be like a photo of me like jumping out of a, you know, car or something. And they actually take that and custom turn that into a film poster. So you can make it look like I'm in Mission Impossible or, you know, one of my favorite movies or whatever, you know. Star Wars, right? Like they can make it look like you're in a film poster. It's a really, really cool idea. They use from I've read their story, and they use print on demand for this, which is really cool. But that requires a team to do that. There's not really a way to automate that in most cases. So the example we talked about earlier with line art, turning pets into line art, right? Your customer submits that, and they actually have a team that turns that into a design. Like they actually have to do some manual work. And the last example I have here, I don't know if you've seen this brand. I don't have the name of the brand, but it's such a cool idea, but probably super infringing. I saw a brand come across my Facebook timeline that looked like they were just crushing it. And what they do is they turn you and your friends or you and your family into Simpsons characters.
So I've totally seen that before.
Isn't that crazy looking? We're not condoning this. We're just saying that,
like, right.
That's an example, right? Is like you can look like a Simpson character. And I don't know what the brand was. You can probably look it up. But that,
I see one,
you know,
called Simpsonize Me, and it's custom Simpsons portrait. Which I don't know how they get around using the name. I was like, okay, I thought maybe they wouldn't use the name Simpsons in it.
The one
like,
that I
call
saw
you
did
like
not.
Yellow person or something. Yeah. What's that?
The one that I saw did not use the name Simpsons.
Okay, this one does. Like,
I don't know what it was. Like it might have been something with yellow, which could be racist, so be careful.
Turned Yellow. There's one called Turned Yellow. Turned into an iconic yellow character. They look so much like Simpson characters. So yes, this is probably who you were thinking of, because I don't see Simpson used anywhere, which is obviously very smart that they didn't use it. Whereas the other one, I'm surprised they're still up, unless they have an affiliation with the Simpsons.
Maybe. But anyways, the idea here is that you actually have a team creating this artwork. So let's talk about that process for a little bit. So the process is your customer is going to go to your website and submit an order. That order is then going to be routed to a designer. This could be you. If you're starting out, you're doing a couple custom designs, I would be very careful. Just caution you. I mean, this is a time consuming, difficult thing. But yeah. once you complete that artwork, either you or a staff member, a graphic designer, then you're going to take that artwork, go to your print on demand provider, and actually upload the final artwork there, and complete the order, finish out the order. Now, you can, just so everybody's aware, in most print on demands, there's an option to have the order stop when it gets to the print on demand, so that you can actually customize it before finishing the order. So you can have that order travel to the print on demand. Then from there, you're going to customize the artwork, finish uploading, upload it to that order, and then finish out the order. It's very manual. It requires a lot more hands, a lot more, it requires more time. It's not going to be as fast because that's custom. I mean, the brand that we talked about earlier with the line art, I mean, my guess is it takes a couple days longer, for them to actually, especially with the amount of volume of orders that they have coming in, it takes a few extra days for them to actually get this done. So it's a little bit longer wait time. In most cases with personalized products, customers are cool with that, right? They understand there's a custom element, but it could take a little bit longer. So that's kind of like level three. That's the most complex, hard version of this. May require more startup capital, may require finding team members, may require, more skill, all those kind of things. And I think that's the big one that we would caution you against. I think you would agree, Adrian, is like,
yeah, at least at the beginning, at least while you're trying to learn every other aspect, yeah, maybe just hold off on that one for a little bit, unless that's your entire idea. I do actually have a T-Shirt Legends Academy student who is level three personalization, and she does dog portraits. So people actually submit photos of their dog, and then they'll create a cool portrait of that dog. And I believe she hires someone from Upwork or Fiverr. And what they'll do is, as soon as she gets the portrait from the customer, she sends it off to this artist. They create it, they turn it around really quick for her. Like, I think there's a standard kind of turnaround time, and then she can put it on a product and send it off. And she's actually made quite a few sales from it. So, but that was like the whole idea of the business, right? So it was like, this wasn't like a one-off product. It was like really a lot of the biggest part of the business was this. And it actually reminds me of another business that is really big. This business, I think it got bought out. I think it got bought by someone, but I remember it was absolutely crushing a couple of years ago. It probably still is. And this I can share because I don't know the business owner. It's a really big company. It's called Splendid Beast. Have you heard of Splendid Beast?
No.
Splendid Beast is such a cool website. Like, you go on there and what you do is you send them a photo of your pet, and you can, there's dog paintings, there's cat paintings, and a lot of them are really funny. Like, they'll put your dog's face on a photo that looks like an old English photo of like the monarchy, or they'll have it wearing like kind of like knight armor, and it's like the dog's head will be popping out, or they have it wearing a suit and tie and the dog's head is popping out.
There's an astronaut cat on here.
Yeah. They do a lot of really cool stuff. And I know I actually heard the owner on a podcast. He was actually a guest on a podcast talking about how this absolutely just blew up. And so, yeah, this is an example of a level three where they just went all in on the level three. That's probably all they offer is custom products. I don't even know if they offer any non-custom products, but that's just an example of one. If anyone wants to check it out to see kind of what that level three customization looks like, and a really successful example.
And I think there's always ways to simplify these kind of things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's always, so for instance, like, if you're starting out and you this your whole idea is extremely customized, could you, when you get an order, go to Fiverr and find a designer and get that turned around in less than 24 hours at a reasonable rate? 100% you could do that.
Totally.
And you could find 10 of those people on Fiverr and pay $8, $10 per design or whatever the charge is, and build that into your pricing, right? And you could absolutely like start out with that. The hard part is when you're getting 100 orders a day, when you're getting 500 orders a day, like, you're going to, in scaling that, there's going to be there's going to be hurdles to come across, right? Like you're actually going to have probably going to have to limit the number of orders you take at some point because you can't grow the team that fast. So it's like you can't get people onboarded and trained fast enough to be able to handle that. So, and that's actually one of the businesses we talked about today with the line art. That was one of the things I talked to the owner about, was trying to grow the team as fast as the brand was growing is like the biggest hurdle that they have, is just finding people to do these designs. So it can be a big hurdle.
I'm curious, with the sellers that you did meet, like the ones that were doing a lot of personalization at the Gelato Accelerator Summit, were they level one, two, or three? Was there kind of one category that most of them were, or was it kind of a mix of the three? What did that look like?
I would say it was a lot of level two and level three. Yeah, a lot of level two. Now, one of the reasons for that, Adrian, which is a really good question, and just so our listeners know, one of the reasons for that is because these were already successful sellers, right? These weren't beginners. These weren't people trying to get their first order, or even their 100th order. These were multi-million dollar sellers. So they've already built up the teams over the last year, two, three, 4 years, right? Like they've had these businesses for a while, so they're seasoned. A lot of them have stories of, hey, I did it on my own when I first started, or this was the idea and it turned into this as it grew, right? So we're talking about a different scenarios here on the podcast of like where you're at in your journey. But right. I would say it was a lot of level two and level three sellers that mostly, like the examples we shared today, it was a lot of people who had a specific style of design, like a specific styled idea, you know, like, oh, I was really good at drawing this certain thing, so I turned it into a business, right?
Right.
You know, what are you known for? What kind of skills do you have in thinking about that? What is the thing people come up to you and ask you about all the time? You know, thinking about those kind of things. But I would say it was a lot of level two and level three mostly.
Cool. I had another question. I'm just trying to think of questions that our listeners would think of, because we probably both have the same questions, but it's always nice to, like you said earlier, to get in the room with these big hitters and to kind of see what they're doing, how they're doing it. So my other question was, the examples we've looked at, these were Shopify stores, but I wanted to know, did they talk at all about the sales channels? Like, did they build their brand on Shopify and then they're also on Etsy? Are they just on Etsy, not on Shopify? Are they on both? Was there any talk about what that looked like?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because they were all, the common thread was they all use Gelato they all use Gelato. So Gelato actually integrates with Shopify and Etsy both, you know, it does both. And they have a custom API. If you have a WooCommerce store, you have like your own custom coded store like they have. So I would say in what I saw was probably about, I'm going to say 25% Etsy. There was a few Etsy sellers there. Then I would say it was another, I would say, let's say 65% Shopify, and then like 10%, hey, I built my own store and had somebody custom code it. You know, there was like one or two of those people in the room that either like built it themselves or like had somebody do something from scratch. But the majority were Shopify stores for sure.
Okay. That's kind of what I figured. You do see a ton of customization on Etsy. And that's why I wanted to know if they were, you know, if those people were primarily Etsy sellers or Shopify sellers. Were they exclusively on Etsy, do you know? Or were they
most
on
the time,
both?
Yeah. I would say, yeah. The most of the people I talked to were like, that's where they started and it blew up on Etsy. And so they haven't been able to, you know, build out their own store yet or whatever. So they might have aspirations of that, but they haven't done it yet.
Right.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yep. I think that's what we got, Adrian. I think that's it, man. I hope that people take this and like really consider adding personalization. If you already have a store, you're already having some success, this could be a way to blow up your sales. If you're brand new and you're like trying to figure out an idea, it might be a good idea to think about how, you know, if your initial idea can include a personalized aspect that could help you get off the ground quicker.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
No, I agree. Having done this before, I had made lots of sales before I introduced personalized products. So I agree with you. I think it should be like a phase two initiative. Phase one, get your MVP up, your minimum viable product, get your store up, try to get some sales from designs, and then consider launching this as sort of phase two, unless you're going all in on this, then that's a totally different story. But no, man, this was awesome. I hope our listeners enjoyed this. I definitely enjoyed this. Yeah.
All right. Hey, we hope you have a great day and we'll see you next week.
Take care. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Print on Demand Playbook podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us an honest review on whichever platform you're listening from. Thank you so much again, and we'll talk to you soon.